We go together like
peas and carrots.
The Peas and Carrots Podcast, sharing life from our piece of the vegetable patch. Brian and Kayla Sanders.
Welcome to the Peas and Carrots Podcast.
Hi.
I'm Brian.
I'm Kayla. I may not have known you started the microphones on or anything. I don't know. What day is this?
I want to start here. I just want to start here.
Okay? Oh, my goodness.
The trainer at our gym has you doing something new.
It's not new. I've done it before, but admittedly, I have not done it for a while.
And tell them what this is called.
It's called a squat. It has a technical name, but you're basically...
No, what's he call it?
Well, he calls it cheeks to sneaks. So basically, I have to bend down and my behind has to touch the back of my shoes. I can hardly walk today.
Cheeks to sneaks. So he had you do this Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
Wednesday.
20 of them times... I could only do three. Admittedly, I could only do three rounds. But
she did 60 cheeks to sneaks.
And last night, I could not sit in the bathtub.
When she got up, it's like she needed a walker.
And you can use your own imagination. Sitting down is precarious in all circumstances. So
you're talking about using the bathroom.
A little bit.
Oh.
But yeah. So did you
do
here
any,
we are.
So went to the gym this morning. Did you do any cheeks to sneaks?
I did not.
Not today.
No, today was riding 5 miles on the bike.
Wow.
So tomorrow I'm going to need a walker. That's where we are. But you're doing some amazing stuff at the gym, though, too. And yes, we signed on for this. Nobody's forcing us.
We pay these people to do this to us. I don't understand that.
But okay, in all seriousness, what did we admit Tuesday night?
I was deathly tired and needed a piece of cake.
We admitted that it's good for us and that we are thankful for the people
there.
That was
a weak moment in my life.
Okay. All right.
It does. It makes a difference. I feel better. I've lost weight.
We're healthier physically, mentally.
Yeah.
It's good stuff. So, but we're also very sore.
Yes. Killing us.
Breaking news. For those two people that are keeping score, our Christmas tree is down.
It only took.
Listen, it normally stays up until your birthday, which is what date?
I like having it up. I mean, March 15th.
Yeah.
Are you trying to test my memory if I remember stuff?
I'm trying to see if you're listening.
What?
You look a little zoned out.
That is not fair.
This coming from the person who didn't know you turned the microphones on.
This is my life, y'all.
But seriously, I do want to say thank you to the friends who encouraged me to turn it into a Easter tree and then a spring tree and then a 4th of July tree. But it was time. It just felt time to tuck it away.
And now the den.
It looks huge.
It looks massive.
Yeah, I'm like, wow, we have all this space.
So, I'm happy to see that right corner of the TV again.
I know you are. You're very welcome.
I felt that comment. There you go. We've become those people.
Uh-huh.
We don't start a movie after about 7:30 or so.
7 is better because we're typically asleep by 9. So if it's a 2-hour movie, we need to be starting it by 7 p.m.
The other night, we went to bed at 7:45.
And I am not sorry for it.
I feel guilty.
I don't care.
They don't bother
we
you?
We get to make the rules.
Oh.
But we were awake at like 3 the next morning, so that's probably not the greatest idea. But
there's one more late-breaking development I want to add to this.
Okay.
One of the engineers in PAR, his name is Alan.
He's bought us a popcorn machine.
Now, when she says popcorn machine, we're not talking about an air popper.
We're talking like one you would go to the movie theater for.
Yeah.
It is so cool.
And we just had our first bag of popcorn.
We did. So thank you, Alan.
Thank you.
It was very, very sweet.
Yeah, this is...
The whole building smells like popcorn today. So
I love popcorn. Do you?
I do.
Oh.
Probably not trainer approved, but... Here we are.
You don't listen to that.
I'll put in another round next week. So we always say that a lot of what we talk about comes from real life. And I get that we're probably, for those of you who've been hanging with us for a while, we are probably revisiting some topics. And I think that's okay because as humans, we are ever growing, hopefully. And we start to see things differently as we experience things. And for us, we both serve in roles that require what we are going to talk about here, which is
healthy, hard conversations.
Yeah.
I'm a big believer in what's called candor. Mm-hmm. I learned that from Jack Welch.
Yeah.
Then Brené Brown followed that up with
her book, Dare to Lead.
Dare to Lead. And she talks about rumbles. There's also another book by Kim Scott that talks about candor a lot. Mm-hmm. So I'm a big believer in it. But candor doesn't always mean hard conversations. But if you're going to lead, if you're going to invest in people, if you're going to live life, you're going to have some hard conversations.
If you want to have a functioning relationship. Yeah. Because, I mean, it's interesting to me, the people that are conflict averse, they equate hard conversations with conflict. And maybe they will lead to some conflict, but if they're done right, that's not always the case. And so this is kind of a rule for me. I have learned as a leader and even as a spouse and even as a friend, it's better to have a hard conversation early than to let a situation or an issue fester. Because the other side of this is nobody deserves to be blindsided by something that's apparently been an issue for a long time, but bam, all of a sudden it's being addressed. It's like annual reviews. Yeah. I'm not a fan.
Yeah, we do not do annual reviews either. You need to be having ongoing conversations.
Yeah.
And if you have ongoing conversations, you won't have to have as many hard conversation.
And you build trust.
Correct.
During the regular, like, day-to-day talking life with other people. So I think there's this part of Brené Brown's book where she talks about the marble jar. You remember that?
Yes.
She talks about the marble jar, and she talks about how hopefully you're filling the jar with marbles. Well, there will come a point where you might have to take a marble or two out. Because of something that either there's a felt lack of trust or there's a change. And a hard conversation could possibly be perceived as one of those times. If you filled the jar full enough, it's not going to be as hard to lose a marble here or there.
And I think what Ms. Kayla's referring to, as is Brené Brown, is that's trust. You got to keep building trust.
Yeah.
You got to keep building trust.
Yep.
So that when those hard conversations come, you can actually take some of that out and use it to have a hard conversation.
In a healthy way.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, within a lot of Christian circles, let me just say this, in a lot of Christian circles, and some secular, it's not considered Christian or nice to have hard conversations.
But even Jesus did that. He modeled it for us in the Bible.
Yes. And let me say this. The only way the gospel can be good news is if there's bad news.
That's right.
So you have to understand the bad news, which is we are sinners. We are separated from God. We are born this way. We are bent away from Him. We are selfish. We want our own desires. Hmm. And then Jesus comes to rescue us because we can't earn our way to God. There's no way. So He comes. The bad news is you can't get there on your own. The bad news is you are condemned. What is the good news?
The good news is grace.
Yes, He came. So you've got to have that hard conversation in order to get to the good stuff.
Amen. Why do we as humans struggle to have hard conversations? What are some of the things that you and I have observed?
We don't want to hurt people's feelings.
Mm-hmm. We don't want them to not like us.
For me, I don't want to be rejected or I don't want to be not accepted. I don't want to be unlovable or seen as unlovable.
We don't want to have the conversation used against us later on.
Huh. I never thought about that. That's how selfish I am.
We're averse to conflict. We talked about that a minute ago. Maybe we don't want to have that hard conversation because we don't want to, what's the expression, upset the apple cart. Mm. We don't want to have drama, or we don't want to have someone who's not happy.
Some people will say, well, you know, you should avoid that because a fruit of the Spirit is peace. Well, you might need to have a hard conversation so you can get to peace.
But if you're living in a toxic space where both people are just practicing like silent anger or passive aggressiveness, is that really peace?
No.
Because when you don't have hard conversations, that's sometimes what it looks like is, well, I'm just going to sit over here and ice you out, or I'm going to pout, or I'm going to sit here and just stew over what happened. Whereas a 10-minute conversation, it gives you the opportunity to practice kindness in choosing your words. You can practice forgiveness if you're the one that's having to receive the hard words. There's so many layers to it, but I'm not a fan, and this is from being married to you for 31 years, because I'll be the first to admit, you know this. When we first married, I did not do hard conversations. Uh-uh. I would clam up anytime you tried to have a conversation with me. And you finally said, we got to about our third year of marriage, and you said, there is something you have to do for me. You have to stop putting up a wall when we need to have a conversation about something. And so I committed to that. It was hard. Still is sometimes.
Yes.
Especially when I think I'm right. And I don't want to hear it.
Which you normally are right. Let's just go on the record and say that.
So what are we really saying to the other person
now,
when we lean into a hard conversation?
I think I'm saying to them, I love you. Mm-hmm. I care about you.
I care about this relationship.
Yes.
Yeah.
Let me say this. We're not saying that a hard conversation is you can be a jerk.
Not at all.
That's not what we're saying. What we're saying is that you have to be kind and clear, caring. You don't have to raise your voice.
You don't go after the person.
Oh, you go after the issue.
Go after the issue.
Yes.
And if the person is the issue, then find kind ways to express that issue. You don't have to tear them down in the process. Because you and I've both, we've been on the receiving end of that before, and nothing good comes from that. And I'm sure that we've not perfectly executed our conversations with others.
No.
But what is it that we want to say when we're having a hard conversation to that person?
That I want to address this issue so I can save the relationship.
Yes.
Or I want to address this issue so I can make the relationship better.
Mm-hmm.
I can make things better between us. I can make the process better.
Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to do. And
it's to either restore something or improve something.
Yes.
That's got to be the goal of it. And it's to communicate, I love you enough, whoever this person is. I love you enough. I value you that I'm not just going to write you off.
Yeah.
We're going to work through this. Yeah.
I would say if you can use some humor.
Yeah.
But get to the point. And let me say this, please don't talk in riddles.
Oh, no.
Get to the point, be honest,
yeah,
and be clear, and communicate that you love that person.
There's another tenet to this that I always practice. When I'm having a really hard conversation with someone, if it hits a point in the conversation, perhaps we've had to rumble a little bit, and it's gotten a little uncomfortable, or maybe the person or myself is feeling kind of threatened, then what I will do is I will say, we're going to pause this, but we're going to come back to this at this time. Mm. And I will commit to coming back to it, hopefully that day. If it's a situation where I know, okay, we're going to pause this, we're going to go get done what we need to get done, but then we're going to come back together and we're going to revisit this. It may look like you need to give the person a couple of days if it was a really contentious conversation, but it has to be something that when you start, you're committed to finishing it.
Yes,
that you're not just going to get halfway and go, okay, well, fine, we'll walk away from this, because then nothing's been accomplished.
You need to get to where what I call tie the shoe.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing worse than walking around with your shoes untied. You could trip over it. That's like an unfinished conversation. You need to be able to finish it, land the plane.
Yeah.
Now, y'all may not end up agreeing, okay, but you'll need to find a framework in which you can move forward together.
With mutual respect.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well,
that's the end game. Yeah.
Well, do these conversations ever get easier? Let me say this. It's according as to the size of the issue.
Yeah.
As to the seriousness of the issue. Some of those conversations, they flow well.
Yeah.
Some conversations, they're not going to flow so well because people can feel attacked. They can feel that you are coming against them personally. And I would just make that clear up front. That this is not about you personally.
Yeah.
This is about what this is happening over here.
They hopefully get easier in one respect. And that is that the more you embrace them, the less terrified you are of having a hard conversation. And the less of your own value you tie to them. And what I mean by that is the more we are willing to say, let's sit in this space together and let's talk this out. You're not fretting over the fact that, okay, if I do this, this person's going to hate me for the rest of my life. Because truthfully, that's a whole nother topic for another day.
Hard conversations will make you and your relationships better.
Yeah.
Know that. But you have to build the trust with the person before you can have them. And you cannot let emotion rule the day.
Exactly.
So just know that. Now, as Miss Kayla said, we have not perfected this.
No, I bumble them from time to time. I have to go back and say, can we revisit this? Or can I clarify that? Mm. Or is there anything that you would want to say? And that's the other part of this, is the conversation has to be two-sided. A hard conversation is not just something that you like pour out. It's something that you have to let filter in as well. So anytime a hard conversation is entered into, it's got to be two-way.
If it's
got to be listening as well as
if it's
speaking.
Not, you're just wasting your time.
That's right.
So be brave. But also be kind.
Yes.
Have those conversations.
And the last thing I would say is, this sounds trite to some people, but before you go into any hard conversation, pray. And ask the Spirit to give you the right things to say. Sometimes He will literally put a guard over your mouth to keep you from saying things.
Well, I'm pretty strong. I've beaten that guard down a few times. But you're exactly right. You're 100% right.
But you can do this.
Yes. Living the dream, baby.
We were and we are.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there's just a few things that we were thinking through our last, almost 31 years now.
I'm getting old.
I mean, we've known each other almost 32 years. Oh, my gosh. Here we are.
And here you've stuck with me.
So there's just a few things that, you know, as you think back over your time with someone, I'm going to say with your person, because for us, that's each other.
Yes.
Our financial status, for example, it has changed in the last 31-ish years, but our values toward each other have not. Mm. My dad always said, money's gained and lost every single day. You can always make more money. But the most precious commodity we have is each other.
That's exactly right. To the point that I've tried to embrace this is that I can replace stuff. I can always earn more money.
Yeah.
I can't replace you.
Yep.
So as we look back over these 31 years, you know,
taking care of you has been my greatest delight.
Aw. That's very sweet.
Because jobs come and go.
Why are you being so nice today?
I had popcorn.
So. I set you up for a great sentimental moment. I had popcorn. She's so proud of herself right now. What I was going to say is we have worked so hard to get certain things.
Yeah.
And I look back.
Yep.
And it isn't the thing that made the memory. It's working with you.
Yeah.
It was through the struggle.
Mm-hmm.
It was doing those things together.
The things pale in comparison.
Yes.
Yeah.
I would also say this, looking back, you aren't meant to have it all immediately.
No.
And maybe you never should. So there's two things here. One, you aren't meant to have it all immediately. You should have to work hard. You should have to learn some lessons. You should have to.
And lean into each other for that.
At the same time, there might be some things that you'll never have enough money for. Like, I'll never have enough money to buy an autographed letter by Abraham Lincoln.
And I hate to pop your bubble, but even if you do, you won't. So
they run anywhere between about $100,000 to $200,000.
But in all seriousness, we could have spent the entire last 31 years chasing after all the things. When do you get to enjoy what you already have, if that's your mindset?
I enjoy, this is going to sound really stupid, I enjoy a simple life when we leave here every day from the offices. We go home, and y'all, I'm going to be serious. We do not live a big, exciting life. I mean, being serious.
And most people don't.
Most people don't. I mean, we go home and I'll plop down and I'll watch the news for a little while. Or
I'll cook dinner.
We'll cook dinner. We'll watch an episode of West Wing or
something.
Yeah.
Or read. Some nights the TV doesn't even go on.
I'm usually asleep in the recliner by about 8:15. But that's our simple life. And if there's a topic we need to talk about, we'll do it. But for me, here's what I'm going to say. This might sound ooey and gooey, but living the dream for me has been doing all these moments with you.
Yeah. It's in the mundane that a life is built. Mm. So to build on that, we started out together with a gifted couch, a gifted chair, and a gifted bed. And what we can tell you now, 31 years in, is memories aren't made around the stuff. Mm. It's made around the day to day. The memories we have are about us. We can't tell you what we were wearing when those memories were
made.
It's
about the doing. It's about the living. It's about the decisions. It's about being there together, facing the hardships.
It's about the shared experiences, not the stuff. It's not the life you build with stuff. It's the life you build with each other. Yeah. And so, Friday night.
Date night.
It always has been, and always. It always will be.
When we lived in New Orleans, we'd go to Texas Steakhouse, Roadhouse.
Something. Texas Steakhouse,
Texas
I think.
Steakhouse we'd go to. And we'd get a little meal.
Yeah.
And we'd go to a little, I think we went to Walmart.
Probably.
And then we'd come home. That was our date night.
And very, very rarely, if we had been gifted some money, we would do our biweekly dinner. We could not afford to go out every Friday night. We would go out every other Friday night. And then we would go to a movie. If we had been gifted some money. Yeah. Otherwise, it was game nights or watching a show or a movie at home. And it was a very...
Date nights now are, we'll go out to dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And we might hit up a bookstore or go to Target or something.
Yep.
Come home, we'll watch
We might... Go to a movie in the afternoon.
Yeah.
If we have a Friday afternoon, sometimes we'll go to a movie. But But it's about the carving out space for each other.
Okay. I'm going to say something here. You have to enjoy the person before you enjoy the experience.
Because
you need to be more in love with who you're spending time with than being in love with what you're trying to do. Because that's not where life is built.
Yeah.
So that was pretty good.
You is smart.
Stop. You need to carve out some sacred time for each other. Now, we spend a great deal of time together, so that's not an issue for us. But now, Friday nights are a sacred time for us.
Yeah. There's some eye rolling happening right now. I feel it. There's some really, but you're not chasing kids around, and you're not doing this, and you're not doing that. I get that. I do, but there were many years and there are many seasons where we are very, very busy, and yet it's what we've prioritized. We have made sure that Friday night is sacred. We have often said no to things.
Because that's date night.
Because it's date night.
Yeah.
And it's not because we don't love other people, it's because we love each other.
That's very.
And there's value in figuring out how do you make this almost a habit at first, and then it becomes something that you hate to miss it.
There's a lot of truth to the statement that marriage is work.
Yeah.
It's a choice to love that person more than yourself, to lay down your own selfishness, to prioritize them over all the world's demands, to place boundaries with others who don't honor what you have. You've got to do that. So marriage is work. It doesn't come easy.
No.
But if you put the work in, you
no will relationship
find,
does.
You will find a rhythm that works and brings joy.
Yeah.
So.
And it really is. It is a daily dying to yourself, because I love me some me. But if you love that person, you want what they want. Mm. If you love that person, then you are willing to prioritize their needs over your own. And that becomes almost second nature in some ways. There are things that it's just, if you're happy, I'm happy. And when you get to that place, it doesn't feel like as much work. Mm. I'm speaking to those of you who are fresh into marriage or fresh into a relationship. Yeah, it's going to take some work. And sometimes you're going to feel like you're giving a whole lot more than you're getting. Mm. But the end result is that if you really love that person and you want what's best for them, then you're not worried about what you get out of it.
Exactly right. And you're going to make them a priority, and you're going to push some other things out of the way so you can spend time with that person.
I think the last one we would share is dream together.
Dream on. Na-na, dream on.
Oh, dear.
Just saying. And we've always made time for dreaming, like places we want to go, things we want to accomplish.
And then chase as many of those dreams as you can.
Yes. Miss Kayla has a dream of when we retire. At some point, we will have two labs, and she has a vision that one will be hers, one will be mine. I want to tell you right now, they'll both be hers, okay? They will both be hers.
Man, so, okay. I'll let you pet them.
But you need to figure out what you share in common as a dream and then go for it.
Yeah.
And yeah, you're going to be afraid. Yeah, things are going to go haywire, but keep pushing after it. And that dream will actually draw you closer together.
Yeah. And some of you are sitting there going, well, that's kind of contradictory to what you just said 5 minutes ago about keeping it simple.
Well,
and,
honey, we're all full of contradictions.
But the truth is, it's okay to have things that you aspire to. It's okay to have trips that you want to take, and memories are made on those trips. And it's okay to have things that you want to enjoy in your journey. Don't be ruled by them is what we were saying. But yeah, we have a dream to one day have a place on a lake, have two labs, brother, sister, maybe, I don't know.
One of the rooms has to be a library.
Yes.
Like to have a dark paneled room with a library mm-hmm. that has a couple of leather chairs, some lamps. That's just a dream.
But that's something we look forward to down the road.
Yeah.
Again, our whole point in sharing all this is, where did you come from and where are you going? And as we're looking forward to our 32nd year, there's just so much more to look forward to. And we hope that for all of you.
Yes.
In your relationships.
Take the time to make it a priority.
Yeah.
Say that. Hey, thanks for listening. We appreciate you tuning in this week. Share this episode with a friend or two. We'd appreciate that.
Anybody want to get mugged?
No.
Not that kind of mug.
Oh, coffee mug.
That kind of mug.
Yes. First of all, our friend Michelle won a coffee mug and a pack of
stickers.
And thank you, Michelle from South Carolina, for listening.
We appreciate you.
But hey, you can win a coffee mug and a pack of stickers. All you have to do,
go to our website.
Yep.
It's the peasandcarrotspodcast.com. Mm-hmm. If you'll go there, click the trivia button. And then we always have like a random question. This week's question is,
what are you looking forward to this month?
It's getting a little warmer. Spring is coming. Really? I promise. It's coming.
Snowed here today.
I know. Well, actually, it snowed, then it sleeted, then the sunshine. Then it snowed again, then it sleeted. And now it looks like I don't know what it's going to do.
South Florida
but,
outside.
Yeah. So.
So, hey, you can win yourself a coffee mug and a pack of stickers. Mm-hmm. You go to peasandcarrotspodcast.com. You click the trivia button. And when you get there, you answer this question.
What are you looking forward to this month? You can search the Peas and Carrots Podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Or visit our website. Again, that's
peasandcarrotspodcast.com.
When you do, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast.
Also, find us on Facebook and Instagram. Just search for the Peas and Carrots Podcast.
For more about the Peas and Carrots Podcast and to reach out to Brian and Kayla, visit peasandcarrotspodcast.com. Growing through the challenges we face and finding hope along the way. That's the Jesus Fix It podcast with Jess. Check out JesusFixIt.com or search Jesus Fix It wherever you listen to podcasts.